Chapter 7, Simple But Difficult. Mimi's struggle exemplifies what is true about almost every relationship issue. It's simple, but difficult. It's simple to tell someone on a date how you feel about them. You simply tell them. It's simple to express your expectations and then stick to them. You say, "This is what I expect from you," and then you stick to it. It's simple to say no to somebody. You just say no. You don't need a complicated roadmap with 28 steps involved. You don't need to solve algebra equations or create spreadsheets to codify every aspect of your relationship. Relationships are simple. They're just difficult. They're difficult because the act of simply speaking up and declaring what you desire, the act of stating what you want and need from somebody and then following through, the act of saying no to someone you love and watching as disappointment and pain emerge on their face, these things are difficult. They hurt. Our minds and bodies resist them. We instinctively search for ways to avoid them. We rationalize, "Oh, he knows what I mean, so I don't need to explain." We procrastinate and delay. "I'll tell her later. Let's just enjoy the night out." And we seek to blame others. Man, why are they all so shallow? Much of getting to a place of vulnerability, respect, and honesty involves cutting down layers upon layers of our own bullshit. And often we don't even realize that it's bullshit because we've lived within it for so long. It's like bad wallpaper. Sometimes it takes an observant friend to walk in and go, "What the fuck is this avocado-colored eyesore?" for us to realize that we've been living in a heap of ugliness for the past 10 years. Mimi's great discovery from our conversations was not a cool new approach to her dating life or a handy tip to use when she's on her apps. The discovery was simply that what she believed was normal was actually not. That what she thought was sticking up for herself was letting things slide too much. What she thought was true about men was only true for the men she met, and that enforcing her boundaries was not being a bitch, it was being a badass. This doesn't sound like much on the surface. After all, her problems are simple, but the discoveries throughout our conversations helped her make those problems feel a little less difficult. Similarly, Diana's problem was simple. How do you stop fantasizing about a woman you met 3 years ago and don't even know? Simple. You stop fantasizing about a woman you met 3 years ago and don't even know. But the difficulty in her letting go of her fantasies turned out to be deeply embedded within her mind. And coming to that understanding of herself, of realizing that the same psychological mechanisms that are such a gift in her career are a potential hindrance in her emotional life, was all it took to make it less difficult. After our meetings, Diana got better at letting go of her fantasies. Confronting the reality of X allowed her to let go of the false expectations she had built up in her mind. And as a result, she became more emotionally available for her real relationship, her relationship with E. I saw Diana a year later. She said they were happy, were moving in together, and were engaged to get married. Unlike others, Vanessa's issues appeared complicated on the surface. You had email accounts, shared calendars, secret conversations, clandestine meetings after work, and on top of that, the dude was married. This seemed like a lot to unravel. But her problems turned out to be far simpler than she had imagined. A deletion of an account here, a revocation of access there, a couple stern words, and her enmeshment with Vince unraveled itself, revealing how fragile it had been all along. Last I spoke to Vanessa, she was still not romantically involved with Vince, and she was still single and dating. She's on the right track, and I wish her luck. By the way, I actually did buy emotionallystableandsuccessfulmen.com, but the project still hasn't exactly taken off. Mike, the king of the drama, the giver of houses, for all of the fireworks and intensity of his dating life, his problems turned out to be as simple as ever. Get off the apps, don't date anyone unless you really feel it, and develop the ability to be healthy and happy alone. It's cliched and classic advice, but it's a cliche for a reason. Until you can love and respect yourself by yourself, you'll never be able to find that respect and love in a relationship. Mike came to one of my events in 2019. He brought a group of friends with him. He had just finished renovating his house by himself. He was still volunteering at a local prison, and he had just met and started dating a new woman. Their relationship, he was proud to say, was thus far drama-free. And then there's Jerry. Jerry had perhaps the simplest problems of all. Ask to turn the air conditioner off. Tell her, moving in together makes me nervous. Realize that just because she invited you on a trip to meet her mother, no, you're not going to lose half of your shit again. Jerry ghosted me for a couple of months towards the end of this project. I reached out via email a few times to find out if he'd had the big conversation with his girlfriend about the move. In his responses, he was evasive. He said he was busy with work. They hadn't talked about it yet. He had a business trip coming up, so maybe after that. I assumed the worst. Finally, 2 months after the project had ended, on Halloween, incidentally, I managed to get him back into the studio for a follow-up. I'm wearing my bunny costume right now. You just can't see it.
I wouldn't have guessed that would be your costume, but hey, awesome.
Every year it's a bunny costume.
I don't have one. I'm kind of a non-costume person. Maybe I should lighten up.
How are you?
Awesome.
You're good.
I'm really good.
Awesome. We were on pins and needles over here. We were like, is it good news? Is it bad news?
That's right. I didn't want to leak anything. Hey, I was freaking out a few weeks ago, so.
Yeah, you were. So take us through it. When did you have the talk? The talk with a capital T.
Yeah, all caps talk. 2 weeks ago.
Okay. How did it start?
I just kind of blurted it out. We need to have a talk.
Okay.
You know, it was all coming to a head because she had to give 60 days notice on her place, and we've been talking about things, and I've been feeling more like I needed to get out of there, that I didn't want to live in an apartment the rest of my life. I wanted to get back in a house and feel settled and start moving forward, not sideways. And so I've been looking for a house for a year, just kind of, you know, just keeping my eye out for something. Well, I found something. And then it got real because am I going to let her move into the house, or is she going to move 25 minutes away, or, you know, into another apartment? And so I was like, I need to have this. It's time to talk this out. So here's what I know. Do you guys remember a show, a TV show, a sitcom back in the 80s? It may be like you guys are too young, called Hogan's Heroes. And it was about American POWs and—
Vaguely.
And vaguely, and there was a guy called Sergeant Schultz, mm-hmm. and he always had this expression he said, which is, I know nothing. and I was thinking about that driving over here, and I was like—
It's very Buddhist, this Sergeant Schultz.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, right. I mean, I should probably go back and watch them all again. Anyway, I'm driving over here. I'm thinking, I am the Sergeant Schultz of women. I know absolutely nothing. And I got married for the first time in 1990. And through all of that, I can't figure them out. And whenever I think I understand them, I will be wrong. Because I bring this up. So the first thing I say is, listen, and it was what we talked about. I view moving in together like it's the first step towards something permanent, and I'm not ready for that.
Yeah.
And she says, it doesn't mean it's the first step towards something permanent. It just means we're living together.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, really? That's awesome. So she like totally, she just completely gets it. She gets exactly where I am.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's fine. You know, it doesn't mean we're getting married, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if she said this, but I was implying, like, you're kind of full of yourself that you think I'm going to marry you.
She's kind of right. I mean, you were making all these assumptions in your head of like.
I know. So that was kind of funny. And then the other part of it was the whole deal of the finances, that I don't want to commingle finances at this point in my life.
Yeah.
And she's like, I totally get that too. We don't have to do that. I don't necessarily want to do that either. So,
just like, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, there are absolutely zero problems with any of this.
6 months of anxiety and stress for okay.
It was really, it was just this awesome conversation that we know exactly where each other is. There's no problems. There's no issues.
Yeah.
You know, if this thing works out, great. If it doesn't, it's going to be fine for me financially. I can buy the house. I can handle the mortgage payment on my own. I don't need her support for that. So if it didn't pan out, she can go her own way. And so it's just this perfect situation right now where I get to have a home again and put pictures on the walls. And
that's amazing.
Do all that fun stuff. And she's cool with all of it.
Awesome. The thing that makes it funny is how simple it is. It's so simple, it almost kind of becomes kind of silly that, it's 6 months of stress and then just, oh, yeah, sure, we don't have to do that. But it's, it's very understandable where you were coming from. And I think I'm so excited for this relationship for you because she has respect for you. She has respect for your boundaries. And so as soon as you state that boundary, she's like, that's fine. I can work with that. And that's it. That's it. Conversation's done.
I know. It's like you've written about, Mark, when people ask you, how do I break up with my girlfriend? And you say, well, just break up with them.
Right.
How do I have this conversation about money? Well, you just have it.
Yeah. And it sounds like she's on the same page. And it sounds like she does want to live with you, but she understands your emotional situation and she's willing to cater to that, be flexible with that. And that's great. Because that means she respects you and she actually loves you in a healthy way.
Yeah. So it's just shocking to me.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. So I'm feeling pretty awesome about all of it right now.
You climbed the mountain.
Yeah. And it was simple.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy, but it was simple.
Right.
And I got my head around that I can accept the consequences.
It's so crazy how it's like that, how it feels like you're climbing a mountain, but it's really just one step. And you're like, oh, I'm there.
It was very enlightening. And I learned a lot through the whole past few months of all of this.
Well, that's great to hear. I'm super happy for you guys.
Yeah, me too.
And that was it. Simple, but difficult. Months later, Jerry sent me a picture of them, standing together, smiling outside their new home. He was happy. They were happy. In that moment, it was a success story. They made the leap together, and Jerry felt great about it. His fears had been unfounded, his hesitation unwarranted. All along, he had been screaming at a mirage. Soon, this problem will recede from his memory. It will seem silly in hindsight, an overreaction, an imagined crisis, and eventually, in its place, a new problem will undoubtedly arise. Then, with this new problem, new fantasies, new forms of avoidance, new insecurities around vulnerability, and so on. The work of a relationship is never over. It only gets less difficult. And as we've learned, that work might require killing your fantasies and facing reality. It might involve emotionally exposing yourself in order to explain what you really need. It might require saying no to someone you wish you never had to say no to. And based on Jerry's ability to do that, he will either move closer to true intimacy or further from it. It will either make his love healing and empowering, or it will make it toxic and destructive. Love is the easy question. It comes and goes. We can potentially fall in love with 1,000 and be loved by 1,000 more. Self-respect, trust, honesty, these are the necessary components of intimacy. These are the hard skills that must be developed and honed over time, especially if they weren't present in our relationships growing up. Because while love is great, love is beautiful, love is joyous, love is not enough.
Well, we got our happy ending.
Yeah. For sure. It's definitely happy ending. And I can't thank you enough for taking the time and doing this with me, because I probably wouldn't have gotten here without the help and without everything that you guys did. So thank you.
Hey, my pleasure. I'm happy for both of you. And and I really do mean that. Like, you're a good guy. You work hard. You care about her. You care about yourself. Like,
you deserve this. This is how it's supposed to be. This is what all the hubbub is about.
And it still seems too good to be true, but I'm just going to accept that it is true.
Hey, man.
Until proven otherwise.
You deserve it.
Thank you. Thank you.
This has been an Audible Originals production of Love Is Not Enough, written and performed by Mark Manson. Executive producers David Blum, Keith O'Connell, and Mike Charzik. Editorial producer David Blum. Producer Rachel Hamburg. Mixed and mastered by John Dracy. Copyright 2020 by Mark Manson. Sound recording copyright 2020 by Audible Originals, LLC.
Also want to give special thanks to Keith O'Connell, Martha Little, Laura Kleinschmidt, Laura Stradley, Rose Hilliard, Yael Even-Or, Isabella Kulkarni, Emily Martinez, Nicole Opdenbosch, Brooke Dean, Beverly C., and of course, the wonderful engineers holding down the CDM studios who helped us and listened to way too much of our personal lives for many, many months. I'd also like to thank all of the wonderful anonymous humans who shared their stories with me and were willing to open up their lives to thousands and thousands of listeners. It's absolutely incredible, and I'm floored that the people had the courage to come in and do this. Finally, I have to give credit to the marvelous queen of voice acting, Dina Kay. She made me much less shitty at this, and I'm greatly in her debt.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.